Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. Beautiful day in the Northwest.
Yeah.
It's your sports bros, Rop and Sook. I'm Rop.
Is the rain coming or are we going to keep getting this?
Big Sook right over there.
This is glorious.
Oh, dude.
The rain is a-coming.
Man, damn it.
This weekend. Mm. As a matter of fact, I think it might be tomorrow.
All right.
So hopefully you got out there today and got some sun on your eyeballs.
I like to put it somewhere else, you know. Got to get out and sun yourself in the morning. Do your sun salutations.
Coming up this hour, let's talk nicknames. What else do I have here?
I can't find my Prime video because I'm trying to pull up the NFL game.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, where the hell did that go?
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, now I'm confused. Well, I switched over phones. It's now all my my apps. I don't.
I'm sorry.
I don't know where anything is anymore. I don't like it.
I feel like you've had like a 4 month long phone saga going on.
Yeah, it's been a series. It's solved now though, and more importantly, we're back to the blue bubble. So.
Oh.
The Amazon or the Android reign is officially over.
Good.
Yeah.
About time.
Yeah, a lot of people were, you know, that blue bubble hate, it's really, you know, it's too much.
It would have killed a lesser man.
Yeah, what are we doing? Well, I'm tired of the blue bubble, or the, I guess it would be the green bubble persecution. You blue bubble people.
Well, get with the program, okay?
You know, it's ridiculous.
And you did.
I have every right to have the green bubble.
Well,
maybe
sure
it's time
do.
To grab a hold of your little stepladders and go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
And we also have every right to make fun of you
Let's
for
just
it.
Say, I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it,
Well,
blue
go back
people.
To it then, you little bitch.
Maybe I will. Actually, I'm not. I'm not switching phones again.
Yeah. It's funny that you're back to an iPhone when you swore up and down you would never go back to an iPhone. Yeah. Well, here you are.
Yeah, here I am.
You freaking... bitch!
Honestly, I did get tired of listening to everyone bitch about my freaking bubble.
I only have one close person in my life who does not have an iPhone now, and that's Meatball.
Yeah.
He is still on the Samsung.
Yeah.
It's my dad and my brother, and it's annoying.
It is annoying.
Yeah.
What are these people doing?
See, you know what's annoying is you guys
making
judgment calls based
on
bubbles.
No. I mean, so we share a lot of family stuff, a lot of videos and a lot of photos.
That's right.
And it screws with the quality.
It screws it up.
It totally screws with the quality.
That's right.
That is one of the reasons why everyone gets mad. If I send a photo, then it's all blurry and you know.
My dad will be like, hey, can you send that to me individually as well? Because it didn't come through for anyone in the group. Yeah,
the vids
are
small and grainy.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a joke.
It's no good.
You know what you guys should do? Go jump off a bridge. I don't mean that.
Make your lives better.
God.
Make more money so you can afford better phones.
Yeah.
Quit bitching at me about the grocery prices.
Make a better job. Club 1080 tonight. There is a phrase that spiked to be the most Googled phrase this week.
Hmm.
And I'm going to have to tell you what it is.
Oh, boy. Guessing it's not good.
I don't think it's good.
Yeah, that means it's not good.
I have concepts of a plan.
We'll get to that. Also, the North Korean troops are in the news.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. It will tell you why.
Those little dudes are out there doing stuff now, getting shipped off.
Well, also, there. We've got some fun monkey times in South Carolina. Mm. So we've got a lot to get to in the club tonight.
I do love monkey times.
Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Taylor Swift, that's it.
Number five.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like what you're doing here. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's good. Great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Number five.
The Blazers visit the Spurs tonight.
I see it right here. It's on
apparently
my screen.
It's on TV.
Yeah, see it right there.
No Greg Popovich for San Antonio. He is sick. Both teams are 3-5. Sixers going to be without Tyrese Maxey for weeks. He hurt his hammy last night against the Clippers.
So no Embiid, no Maxey, and Paul George is on limited minutes. Things are going great.
And they're 1-6.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Oh, I did know that.
The Sixers and Bucks are a combined 2-12.
I'm not going to lie. That's kind of funny to me. It's just welcome to the NBA.
It's funny until they get Cooper Flagg.
The Blazers with a better record than the Sixers and the Bucks. What? Also, Shane Sharp plays tonight, though he's coming off the bench. He makes his season debut.
At least he's playing.
Yeah.
Or maybe we don't want him playing. I don't know.
What's been his problem?
He had surgery on... or did he have surgery or did he just hurt his shoulder? I don't know if he had surgery.
It was labrum?
Yeah.
Ooh, labrum.
I don't think it was surgery. Shohei. But yeah, he got hurt.
Number four.
The Mariners are among the teams interested in bringing in Korean second baseman Hye-Sung Kim. Now, this is not to be confused with the Padres infielder, Ha-Sung Kim. This guy is 25. He's coming off a season in the KBO where he hit 326. He has great speed, not much power, and he's a perfect fit because apparently his glove is really shaky.
Oh, God. Yeah, Mariner fans, the final piece is in place.
He's perfect.
I guess.
Helps you get to your 54%, probably.
Yeah. Keith Law reports Mariners could be a factor for free agent first baseman Christian Walker. He is a gold glove winner. He hit 26 home runs for the D-bags last year.
I like him.
Did he hit 209?
I think maybe maybe a 250 guy.
So in Seattle, he'll hit 209.
I think that projects to 198.
I like
in
that.
Seattle.
Hey, at least they're talking about doing something.
They factored in the batter's eye, maybe a 176 or something.
The Mariners have concepts of an offseason right now, and I, for one, am excited about it.
Number three.
The SEC is setting roster limits for 2025 at 85 spots. Now, this is 25 spots lower than the max allowed, or maybe it's 20. Actually, it's 20 via the House settlement, but they say it's just keeping status quo until the final ruling comes down.
Yeah.
It could also be saving them money.
Sure.
By offering fewer spots. The date for setting rosters will be right before the season. So in camps, SEC camps, because the SEC is the only conference to do this yet or so far, they will now have cuts. So yeah. You'll have 105 in camp and you'll only keep 85.
Well, and remember too, like anyone that's worried about this, you can't keep 100 kids that are worth a damn in college. Like, no one will sit around and just be fourth string, right? It's just that's just not a thing. So there's this fear-mongering of, oh, my God, there'll be 120 scholarships in Alabama or Georgia's. No, because if you're worth a damn, you're not going to sit as the 110th kid on a roster. You'll go somewhere else.
Number two.
I just think sometimes there's a little fear-mongering about what that could mean and stockpiling talent. And that's just not happening in today's world.
Florida is sticking with Coach Billy Napier in 2025. He is 15-18 thus far.
Which means he'll definitely be fired.
100%.
Next season.
look.
Yeah, you called for his ouster.
I thought he'd
earlier
be,
this year.
He was like the odds-on favorite to be the first coach fired.
Well, because of their schedule.
Well, they played the hardest schedule in modern college football history.
But he's 4-4.
Yeah.
And two of their losses were close. To top 10 teams.
Yes. So I think he has managed to stave off the
done a pretty good job.
Barbarians of the gate. But can we also admit that if this thing goes south at the end of the year and there's some ugliness, anytime someone gives you the dreaded vote of confidence, that just means
it's the first step you get fired later.
Exactly. So I'm not ready to give Billy Napier an attaboy yet, but it appears that he may have saved his job by going 4-4, which is kind of saying something. But what, if they lose, they got Texas, LSU, and Ole Miss. Dude, if they get drilled by 30 points in each one of those games, he gets fired before Florida State.
Number one.
The other one that I read about that, where they said that what may actually save his job is almost all of their NIL money is tied to freshmen and sophomores. And there's a fear that if he leaves, a bunch of those kids maybe leave with him. So that may save his job.
Cincinnati at Baltimore, Thursday night football. The Bengals will be in Baltimore.
Are you all right with that?
About that?
I'm excited. Deshaun Foster.
What do you think about that?
We're in LA.
I'm excited about this because, one, I just love watching Baltimore play. Their offense is historically good. And Joe Burrow is single-handedly keeping the Bengals somewhat relevant. But they need this one because at 4-5, they just can't afford many losses. And this is a tough one. And they've already played once, and it was a really close game. So I think as far as Thursday night football goes, it doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah, the first one was won by Baltimore in overtime. Jags quarterback Trevor Lawrence unlikely to play this weekend against Minnesota. Tennessee getting QB1 Will Levis back this week as the Titans take on the mighty Chargers.
It doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't. But I would say that they are worse off with him than Mason Rudolph.
And if you're Trevor Lawrence, they're talking about maybe needing surgery. It's his non-throwing shoulder, but you know, it's, again, if you're Trevor Lawrence, what are you doing?
Mac Jones, baby.
Yeah. Welcome to the Mac Jones world.
Victorico's Mexican food brings you the Hot 5 at 5. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com. Let's talk nicknames.
Let's do it.
I have a nickname bit for you.
Okay. By the way, the Ravens in all purple unis, including the helmets, look so sharp. Just saying.
Say it.
Oh, they look
great. Already did. We'll be right back on The Fan. Someone asked a pretty good question on the text line.
What do you got?
Well, they asked us, who would you rather have? Trev Lawrence, $55 million. Dak Prescott, $60
million. Oh, God.
That's pretty good.
I think I'd take Dak.
I'm going to go Trev.
Yeah?
Only because I just feel like Dak...
The upside, maybe?
...is wearing down.
Yeah.
I really do. Lawrence is younger, right?
Yeah. Way younger.
Yeah, I'm going younger guy.
I could see that.
Because Dak is just... I mean, he can't run anymore.
No.
His hamstring
is not a super mobile guy.
His hamstring has run away from his bone.
Yeah, it's not good.
And is he in his 30s?
He's 31.
Yeah, see.
And Trevor Lawrence he's 25.
Oh, dude, yeah. That's so a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I guess if you're going long-term, yes. But if you told me I got to take one for a year or 2 years, yeah. I mean, just with the length of these contracts. I get Dak for the next 3 years. I get Trevor for the 3 years. I'll take Dak. Dak's a better quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going Trevy.
But I get the long-term thing with injuries and age, but can I just throw this out there? Trevor Lawrence is not very good, I don't know why. Again, I talk about this all the time with draft bias. Because he was drafted where he was at and because he had the college pedigree and we talked about him as this generational quarterback, which I don't think he was, we view him in an entirely different light. But when you look at Trevor Lawrence in his 4 years in the NFL, go down here, he's got an 85 quarterback rating. And you can say all you want that it's Urban Meyer and now it's Doug Peterson. But at what point do you stop making excuses for him? I'm not saying he's terrible, but Trevor Lawrence gets talked about like he is this franchise quarterback. And I would just like to ask anyone that thinks that, why? 3-14, 9-8, 8-8, 2-7. With 69 touchdowns and 45 interceptions, 63% completion percentage, and a quarterback rating smack dab in the middle of the 80s. So where is this franchise quarterback? Because we don't say this about like a guy like Brock Purdy, right? Brock Purdy has way better numbers, but we don't talk about him like that. Or we constantly, and I'm talking about this, like Justin Herbert. We talk about Justin Herbert, and we're like, why isn't Justin Herbert better? Why doesn't Justin Herbert take flack? Well, I give you Trevor Lawrence. So Dak's numbers are way better than Trevor Lawrence's.
Not too hot nickname talk. Mm-hmm. Now, I got into this because I don't know if you've ever seen Basketball Reference or Sports Reference, as it were. Football Reference.
The fact that they include everyone's official nicknames.
I would like to point out that I was just on, well, I still am, Football Reference, looking at Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, so they... Does he have a nickname on there?
Oh, my God. I love Pro Football Reference, Pro Basketball. I'm on there all the time.
It's a great website.
It's the best place to go to for stats. 100%.
But you never really read the top, do you?
But I've never once noticed this. And when you said that, I scrolled up. Oh, my God. It's right there.
Yeah, it's right on the top.
How have I never seen this?
Right in the bio of any player you look up on Sports Reference, they have nicknames. Now...
Oh, my God. You are going to send me down a rabbit
hole
tonight.
Well, what's his nickname?
The Prince Who Was Promised.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the best part about this, is that if you... And you will go down a rabbit hole, because I did earlier today. And I was doing only NBA, but they have it for all players.
Dak Prescott is the fortress.
Yeah. And what they do... So do you ever... Have you? Well, you didn't know that they had this, but they have become known for the place to go look up a guy's nickname.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw an interview with the director of data for sportsreference.com. His name is Mike Lynch.
Oh, all right.
Not to be confused with
our
Mike Lynch.
That's Swing, spelled S-W-I-N-J.
And he says that they scour the internet. And if a nickname comes up multiple times, they put it on there.
Hmm.
They say they view themselves as a bit of an encyclopedia. Like, it needs to be factual. It needs to come from somewhere. But they also feel it's important that any player who has a nickname, that they put it on there. They think it's an important part of history.
I love this. I am just now Googling NFL quarterbacks, and I can't get enough of it.
Action Jackson or LaMarvelous?
Yeah, that's funny. LaMarvelous
is awesome.
Right now.
LaMarvelous.
I am only calling him LaMarvelous from here on out.
So he said that in the NBA, because China is so into basketball, China has a ton of nicknames for these players that we don't often hear here.
Oh.
And that's where they get a lot of them. And they also said that they have a feedback element from fans where fans can go post. And so fans will tip them off as to guys' nicknames. They listen to broadcasts, and local broadcasters will call guys certain things. And they do all of these things to find nicknames. They say that they take the nickname thing very seriously. And if a player has a different nickname, multiple nicknames in different places, they will put it on there. So you'll see a lot of guys have two or three. You know, LeBron has like 10 of them.
I am pissed that I am just now finding out about this.
So I have a set of nicknames. Again, these are NBA players, and I want you to guess who that player is.
Ooh, this is fun.
Yeah, I like this.
And these are just a few. I mean, it took me a long time today to put this together because some people they don't even have nicknames for, like Scoot Henderson and Jeremy Grant of your Portland Trail Blazers. There's nothing on there.
Okay.
But some of the other Blazers I do have. So I put down just some funny ones or some interesting ones. What about street clothes? Who do you think they call street clothes?
Embiid or Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. Right. That is correct. Yes.
That's brilliant.
I was like, wait.
And I think that came from Charles Barkley.
Okay. That is a saying, because it's clearly someone that doesn't play. And by the way, that could probably relate to like 50 NBA players. Like street clothes. I mean,
pretty much all of them are street clothes.
A lot of guys that don't play, but
I love this one so very, very much. The Count of Monte Assist Toe, meaning assist/turnover. Assisto.
The greatest nickname of all time is Apollo Creed, who was the Count of Monte Fisto in the Rocky movies. Assist a turnover. So
The Count of Monte Assist Toe.
Assisto. God. So Westbrook.
No, it's Monty Morris.
Monty.
Yeah, he plays for the Suns now. They call this man Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet?
That is correct. And I think it's because he might look like him, but
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I know who this is, and I can't. It's
Timothy Chalamet. So it's an awkward white guy with a
It is a spindly
correct.
Little white guy. Yeah,
yep.
Josh Giddey.
Yep, that's correct.
There it is. Josh Giddey. Yep.
Timothy Chalamet. They call this man the sea captain, and Buckley, you might be able to get this one.
I absolutely know this one. I'll let Sue guess.
The sea captain.
Yep.
Is it appearance or is it a name thing?
No, it's because
it's based on a hobby.
He used to drive his boat.
Oh, Clay Thompson.
Yep. Clay Thompson used to drive his boat to the arena.
Yeah,
and call him.
Is Captain Clay also on there? I've heard Captain Clay many times.
By the way, you could do a lot worse. Like I know I've always been Sook, but like especially as my beard has gotten more gray, I 100% could wear a captain's hat and go by the sea captain. There's nothing wrong with being, wear a lot of those fisherman sweaters during the winter. I may have to lean into this, get myself a corncob pipe.
Yeah, Clay Thompson, they have Sea Captain, The Electrician, Game 6 Clay, Killa Clay, and Big Smokey.
Ooh, I like Big Smokey. Why is Big Smokey?
And actually, I know the origin of that. Big Smokey was a nickname from Andrew Bogut, who is Australian. And it's a gambling term for the underdog or your dark horse. If you're at a horse race and you see one that you think has better odds than it should, that's Big Smokey.
Who do they call Benjamin Buckets?
Benjamin Buckets?
Think about it.
It's not Ben Simmons, is it?
Nope.
God, I hope not. I'm trying to think of what other Benjamin there is.
What other Bens?
Well, think about what Benjamin Button is.
Oh, well, yeah, that's so who's an old fart?
Like Udonis Haslam.
Oh, LeBron?
LeBron.
LeBron.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they call LeBron.
Yeah.
On here for LeBron, they have King James, LBJ, Chosen One, Braun, The Little Emperor, The Akron Hammer, L-Train, Benjamin Buckets, and Captain LaMerica.
Good Lord, man. It's a lot of nicknames. You kind of like Benjamin Buckets. That's all right.
This one's great. And you will get this one. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard this, and I'm a little pissed off that we didn't come up with this on our own because it's just low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Do you remember the guy World B Free?
Yeah.
They call this man World B Flat.
It's got to be Kyrie Irving, right?
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah. Have you heard that before?
I've never heard that before, but it was obvious because of it, yeah.
They call him World B Flat, and that
it's well played.
Is fantastic.
It's well played.
Thaddeus Young, his name, Thaddeus Johnson.
Okay.
Mike Scott, the regional manager.
I like that.
I like that.
That's solid.
Who do they call Fun Guy?
Fun Guy.
Fun Guy. Is it someone?
Not like fungi, like as in a fungus.
Like a mushroom?
Fun Guy.
Oh, Fun Guy. Yeah. I was like, what, someone into shrooms? I don't know. Who's like the
like Kyle guy?
Who's a fun guy that's out there? I don't know. I don't know who. Is there a guy?
Well, there's a guard named Kyle guy in the league, but I don't think that's it.
I don't know. I don't know.
They also call him the Claw, Boardman, the Hand, or the Terminator.
That's
Kawhi is fun guy?
Kawhi
really?
Leonard.
How is he?
Well, I think they're.
It's a sarcastic thing.
I was going to say.
Because he's not fun?
He might be the most unfun player in, like, of all time. That dude just looks like a walking Xanax.
I like the backwards nickname. I worked with a guy who almost never spoke and had zero personality, and everyone called him Party Dave.
I do. That's fantastic.
Okay. Who do they call the dancing bear?
Oh, is that Jokic?
Nope. That's a good guess.
Yeah, that is a good guess. It's got to be a European guy, big old.
Not a European.
Not a European, huh?
Nope.
All right, so who's just kind of a rotund guy but light on his feet?
Trying to think of a big man who's got maybe good footwork, good post game.
Yeah, you gotta be big. Like, yeah, I'm trying to think of like who's a. I'm not gonna say he's fat, but that's like a Kung Fu Panda sort of thing. Like a Zion? Is he
Draymond Green?
What?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
He doesn't remind me of a bear at all.
The dancing bear.
Hmm.
Peyton Pritchard, fast PP. Also, 8 Mile and P-Rabbit.
All right.
I've heard 8 Mile for him before.
That works.
Yeah, 8 Mile.
And P-Rabbit, or that's Eminem.
Makes sense.
I can see that. He kind of has that look. He just needs the... Well, I guess in 8 Mile, he didn't have the bleach blonde hair. He just had the dark crew
cut. But he also just, in like street clothes, he wears the beanie a lot like Eminem did. Yeah.
I saw a video that Peyton Pritchard's wife took, and I don't think it was a bit. They were in Boston.
No, it went viral. It's real.
They were walking by a playground, and Peyton Pritchard, there was a kid just playing by himself, kid like maybe 12 or whatever, and Peyton walked over and was like, I'll play with you. And Peyton's like backing him down.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, his wife posted
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
They took their dog for a walk, and she's like, of course I turn around and this is what he's doing. Yeah. He's like, started playing pickup with a kid in the park.
Yeah, how old's the kid?
He's probably 10 or 12.
Yeah, 10 or 12. And he's like backing him down. He's like, yeah. He's
gonna now, did the kid know who he was?
Oh, I would assume.
Maybe, but it's not clear from the Instagram.
No, but I mean, the kid's in Boston, for God's sakes. I would assume you would know.
But I don't. Then again, Peyton Pritchard in street clothes in Boston looks like a lot of guys in Boston.
That's true.
Now, this is
Squeeze
a great...
box and, you know...
This is a great nickname, I think. Maple Curry.
Fred Van Vliet.
That's a good guess, actually.
It's got to be someone from Canada.
Yeah, it is someone.
It is someone from Canada.
Is it Jamal Murray?
That is correct. Yeah. Yes, Maple Curry, Jamal Murray. Also known as Blue Arrow and Glitch.
Blue Arrow?
What's Blue
Arrow?
I don't know.
Is that a Canadian superhero, maybe?
The thing that Sports Reference doesn't do is tell you the origin.
Yeah.
And then for your Portland Trailblazers, Anfernee Simons, of course, they have Ant and Inferno, which I like.
Yeah, I can see it.
Nothing for Jerami Grant or Scoot Henderson. DeAndre Ayton is Dominatin', Tiger, and Dominator.
Can I tell you that's the dumbest self-imposed nickname of all time?
Dominatin'?
Yeah, when he said that. I mean, come on, dude. Stop it.
I think it's a kind of a good nickname. Incorporates his actual name.
Don't do that.
Now, I remember when Delano Banton came on the scene last year, people were saying he needed a nickname, and Danny was adamant he had one
on
Basketball Reference. It's a good one, too.
DB Hooper.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a great name.
That's solid.
Also, the Dubber Don.
The Dubber Don.
That's what they call him. Now, Tumani Kamara also has a great nickname.
I would assume with a name like that, you could probably come up with something.
Lights cool. Kamara Action.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's good.
Something about like some pun with Camaro.
Too many buckets.
Oh, too many. Okay, yeah.
Tumani buckets.
Tumani buckets, yeah.
And the other one that they have for Blazers is Denny Avdija. Mm-hmm. He is called Turbo.
Okay.
They call him Turbo.
It's very generic and lame. Turbo. Has anyone ever been cool outside of the movie Breakin' named Turbo? Where's Ozone while you're at it?
I mean, that's a cool nickname, but it doesn't really...
Turbo's cool? You want to be Turbo?
I don't fit to be a Turbo, but and neither does Avdija.
I was going to say, does
problem.
He?
Like, a Turbo needs to be, like...
That needs an explanation where it's from. Maybe, you know, like, maybe it translates to something.
Ashton Genty, you could call him Turbo, you know? Somebody that it actually fits.
Turbo. That's no good. I'm out on Turbo.
Well, there you go. There's your Basketball Reference nickname game.
I love the fact that these are listed on the reference site. I've been there so many times and I've never noticed that. You just scroll right down to the stats. Disappointed in myself.
You should be.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
No.
No, you never had one? I mean,
The Ropper.
The Ropper, yeah.
A lot of my friends call me Zach.
I can see that.
Isaac.
Of course, now it's Isachi.
I'm guessing Buck has always just been Buck.
Because I grew up with a million Ryans, so you needed a way to differentiate the Ryan. So yeah, I was Buck from about third grade on.
Yeah. Some of those just write themselves.
Bo Nix, they don't have one for him yet.
Yeah. I was looking at some of the NFL ones. Jamar Chase, they didn't have one either. I was looking for guys in this Thursday night game.
Plus, Bo is kind of already like, I don't think if you know a Bo, you're just Bo.
Joe Burrow has Joey Franchise and Joe Scheisty.
Yeah, he was in Joe Cool.
Joe Scheisty, that's great.
They didn't list Joe Cool, but I definitely know Joe Cool for him.
Well, that's a Montana thing, but when he came in, people were giving him the Joe Cool thing. He had one with Eminem, too, because he did the Bleach Blonde Tips. Someone had an Eminem name for him this year, and I forget what it was.
Yeah, I remember it was like it was a good pun.
Yeah, there was a pun on it when he came in with the Bleach Blonde hair, and I can't think of it at the time.
Also, no... Oh, that's not true. There is one for Brock Purdy. Do you know what they call Brock Purdy?
Mr. Irrelevant?
I think he's Mr. Relevant.
Mr. Relevant.
That's right.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant, yeah.
And now he's good.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next.
The other good one, I think, in the NFL, my favorite one is King Henry's pretty badass.
It's solid.
Like, Is there a better nickname in the NFL than King Henry?
Yeah, it fits.
That's just, it works.
Of course, that's Joe Mixon's nickname.
Well, and half of it is his actual name, huh? Henry.
Joe Mixon?
Nah, just trying to make a joke. Oh. You know, you don't always...
Yeah, I understand.
You don't always stick the landing, you know?
I understand. The Hebrew Slammer.
Who's that?
They said for Denny instead of the Turbo.
Yeah, somebody said, I'm not a Turbo, I'm a Nitro. That's right.
He was an American Gladiator. I think there was a Turbo and a Nitro.
There were a Turbo and a Nitro.
Maybe that's
sure.
Why I think those are such dumb nicknames.
All right, coming up next, good or bad idea? Here's Buck.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've already got flabbergasted John Harbaugh on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Shaking his head, all pissed off.
It was a pretty bad penalty, so I don't know. I do enjoy when there's clearly a penalty that everyone can see, and they call it, and the coach is livid. Like, huh?
Bungholes up 7-0.
Yeah.
On your Ravens.
Yeah. Hey, the defense for the defense for Cincinnati, which is god-awful, has shown up at least through one quarter.
We were talking a little basketball, and this pertains to nothing, but did you see that? Let me ask you. Quick, who was the number one pick in the draft last year, NBA?
It was the Frenchman,
Anthony Richarlison.
Yeah. He just dropped 33 on the Knicks.
He had a monster night last night.
Did you see that?
Well, you know what's funny is I didn't see it, obviously, because I'm not watching Atlanta Hawks basketball, but I saw it. It came across my Twitter feed, and I thought to myself, I don't know a lot about the Atlanta Hawks. And when I saw it, my first thought was, Trey Young looks weird. And I was like, wait, that's not Trey Young. And I was like, oh, yeah, that
Where's
guy.
Where's Trey Young? Is he still there?
He's still there. Yeah. Like, I was like, because I just, when I was scrolling, I was like, did he get, because he's got terrible hair.
He cut his hair.
I was like, oh, my God, did he do something with his hair? And then I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that's that Richarlison guy.
Oh, but Trey Young also shaved his head.
Oh, he did?
Like yesterday or the day before or something like that.
Oh.
Is Richarlison, is that his name? Richarlison?
Yeah, Richarlison.
Is that the most unmemorable number one draft pick of all time?
No,
he's got to be.
The kid from Cleveland.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett?
Anthony Bennett.
See, I don't think so, because I think Bennett is, he just pops, he's like one of the biggest busts.
Yeah.
So people remember him. Now, if Anthony Bennett had a middling career and we forgot about him, that I think that would put him in play. But honestly, Richarlison, how many fans... Do you think even know that he was the number one pick? Not that many, dude.
It's not very exciting.
I think Cade Cunningham maybe is one.
But can you see where, if you just were scrolling and you saw that, you wouldn't think that it kind of was like a Trae Young thing with that hair? Yeah, like that's how irrelevant he is I didn't even realize that he came across my screen.
That's what I mean. It's like usually with the number one pick, it's like, let's see how he's doing. And it's like,
part of it is that I think that we would have been more familiar with him if it hadn't been for freaking Bronny being in the draft and getting because we didn't talk about the top picks at all. We just talked about where Bronny would go. And,
well, it was a historically weak draft.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad draft. And then on top of it, you had this dumb star power based on his dad.
Yeah, they were saying that no one really wanted any of the picks in this year's draft. And there weren't stars. I mean, Richarlison, and then who was the other guy that ended up going to Washington, the other French guy?
Alex Sarr.
And both of them were kind of like, people were like, yeah, I guess maybe. Like you're just drafting on pure upside at that point. But yeah, it was a weak draft. Never said everyone wanted this draft because you had Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey and a couple other guys. But you're right, the whole Bronny James thing was
It took us away from any analysis of those top picks.
Yes. There was...
Maybe that is it.
I got to see if I can find this. I was scrolling. His coverage just continues to be the most nauseating thing you've ever seen.
Who, Bronny?
Bronny. He's going to the G League.
He's going to the G League, but there was...
Big news.
I got
a... What do you want to bet ESPN sends a reporter to a game?
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
I got to find the... it was on MSN.com this morning, and I see if I can find this, because someone actually wrote an article about Bronny James that you just are going to be like, no, someone didn't actually write this. And the headline, it's incredible, but I got to find it and see if I can bring it.
Okay.
I'm currently,
should we just wait?
No.
What do you want us to do?
No, just, you know, it might take me a minute.
What about Markel Fultz? Remember, he was the number one pick.
Oh, yeah. And then he ended up with crab meat in his shoulder. And
he couldn't shoot in the first place. And then,
no. And then they had to change his stroke. And
Bargnani is another one. Somebody mentioned that.
Oh, Andrea definitely. Bargnani.
He
is
was
a good
number one.
Yeah.
Him and Bogut went number one back-to-back years.
Yeah. I know that the Warriors drafted Joe Smith. He was solid and serviceable, but not super memorable.
That's a good one. Mm. Joe Smith,
yeah, some years
number one pick.
Some years it's
he was probably better than most of those guys. I mean, he turned in good numbers for a solid career, but he wasn't number one good.
But I still feel like that's perfect. That's what you want. If you're a major bust, we remember that you're the number one pick because Olawakandi, I think, was one.
Yeah, but the Candyman.
As opposed to someone that just, you're right, that just kind of middles around.
Was Elton Brand a number one pick?
He was.
Elton Brown was. The one thing I remember about Joe Smith is he had the illegal contract. Like, that's what I think of when I think of Joe Smith.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they were paying him under the table.
Oh.
And it,
cool.
Yeah. In college or when he got to the pros?
No, when he got to the pros. I think it was Minnesota. Oh. They signed him into a contract, and then they ended up, like, they were paid him under the table. And they got dinged a bunch of draft picks. It was a big deal. Yeah, not allowed to do that, in case you were wondering.
No, you're not.
No, it's a bit of a no-no.
All right, is this a good idea or not? Next on The Fan. All right, coming up in the club... The phrase that was most Googled earlier this week, I'm going to let you know what that is, and you might be surprised to find out what that is.
Yeah, I can't think of something that all of a sudden has become like part of the lexicon and everyone's talking about it, like a little Hawk-Tua action. Think about where that blew up. Took over the internet for like 6 months.
By the way, my man Klingon, your boy Kling Kong, swatting Wemby.
The block lobster. Did he?
Oh, and look,
yeah.
Villain Zach Collins sighting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is a villain, isn't he?
Well, his hair's looking all sleek. And yeah.
Dude, Donovan Klingon is a massive human being. Like,
he's a tree.
He is just such a big dude.
He looks out of shape.
I think he's just really thick.
Yeah.
This is the first I've seen of him.
And supposedly they say he doesn't play that many minutes because he does get gassed. Conditioning, I don't think he's out of shape necessarily, but I don't think he's used to playing.
Listen, he's 7'4". Yeah. He's not really running the floor here.
Well, what about Wemby?
Different build.
He's a gazelle.
He is.
Yeah, one's a house and one's a gazelle.
That's what I'm saying. Klingon there's a lot of tall guys in the NBA, but when you look at Klingon, he's just big. He's not just tall. The man is huge. But yes, he does get. It's a brilliant observation on your part.
Thank you.
They do have to limit his minutes because he gets
Donovan cast. Klingon, large man.
Yes.
Well, he just looks like he's out of shape. He looks like he's huffing and puffing out there.
Yes, he gasses out. What do they
also might want to lift a weight.
Big engine, little tank.
I like that.
Good or bad idea? Roger Goodell said this recently.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl overseas. What do you think? He was talking before the first game in London,
mm-hmm.
and they asked him about that, and he said, you know, he's traditionally shot down that idea.
Sure.
But he told them this time it's a possibility. He said, we've always traditionally tried to play a Super Bowl in an NFL city. That was always sort of a reward for the cities that have franchises, but things have changed, and it would not surprise me at all if that happens one day. That's what he said.
I don't think it's a terrible idea in that. It, you know, no one that's a real fan can go to those games anyways.
Exactly.
It's 100% corporate.
So it doesn't really matter where it is.
It doesn't really matter where it is. It's always a neutral site. I think Tampa played theirs there. I think maybe one other team got to play in the home field. So it's always a neutral field. It's very corporate anyways. The average fan isn't going. And you can afford to go overseas. You know, the travel thing isn't an issue because you have 2 weeks. To acclimate over there. So I don't think that's a big deal. Yeah, especially if you're an East Coast team, especially maybe a little bit more for the West Coast, but you leave a day early, you'll be fine.
I think it's a good idea.
I don't know if it's, I don't understand necessarily the benefit of having it overseas. Does that really help grow the game in London to have a Super Bowl there?
I think maybe.
How?
Well, I just feel like if people know it's there, they'll watch it more over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what the ratings are there for.
Is it like bringing a World Cup here? Like, you know, back in the 90s or something like that?
Maybe. And I think more people would have access. I mean, it's going to be rich people, but they're going to have access, or the companies over there. I think that's what it is. What they're doing is they're trying to get the big rich companies over there to buy up some seats and some luxury boxes. And before you know it, they're sponsoring crap.
And for me, it's almost like it just doesn't make any difference because the Super Bowl here is so corporate. I mean, we wouldn't miss it here because it's not like our fans are really going to miss out on
100%. It's not like it's rabid.
If you were taking conference championship games or something, totally different story.
Yeah, I could see it. And London would make sense. Germany's the other one, right? London, Germany would be the two.
Hey, Oasis could play the halftime show in London.
There you go. I'm assuming that I'm just thinking, like, there would be no other place to do it, right? London would be the place, because that's where they're talking about putting a team. And you'd find a soccer stadium that has, right, 100,000 people, cram them in there. It'd be bigger than an NFL stadium.
I mean, they're doing Munich this weekend. You could certainly house it at a place in Spain, where Madrid plays or something like that.
Maybe Fiji.
That'd be an interesting.
Little tough.
The Azores.
Tough. See, London to me would London would make sense. I don't know if you're going to take it to a non-English speaking country.
Yeah,
that may be. I think you're probably right. May be a bridge too far. You know,
Sydney.
Again, probably a bit too far. Probably a bit away. London is the one that makes sense. So play it at, what is it, O2 or whatever, right? We'll play it there. And
how many is that seat?
I'm.
Don't they need like 90?
Well, there's not many NFL stadiums that seat 90. NFL stadiums, I think, average like 76. I think the only two
Wembley seats 90.
90. I think the only two NFL stadiums that seat 90 are the Cowboys and SoFi. I think those are the only ones. Everything else, like all the other ones, are all mid-70s. Yeah, they're just not that big. If you wanted to put in a big place, like that's why it's like the Rose Bowl or college stadiums are bigger than the NFL.
O2 is that arena there in London, right? That's like basketball arena. It's like 20,000.
Yeah. What was I thinking then? Yeah. I was
thinking Wembley.
Wembley. Yeah.
Storied Wembley.
Yeah. The Cowboys, MetLife is the outside of Cowboys. MetLife has 82 that they can cram in there. But I guess in Dallas, you can reconfigure to 100.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seat 100, but you can cram it in.
Who has the smallest stadium in the NFL?
I got it right here. Scrolling. That would be Soldier Field in Chicago.
Really? Yep. What do they seat?
61.5.
I thought Bills had a pretty small one.
Did you know Soldier Field was the size of Autzen?
No.
Yeah, I've played there. It's not very big. And I'm telling you, like, not that I've been around to all the NFL stadiums. They're not as big as you think. Because the whole blackout thing, NFL stadiums were not built to hold giant masses of people. So Soldier's 61, Arizona, which is now State Farm, that's 63, Ford Field, 65, the Raiders is brand new, and they built that at 65. I'm trying to think of the other ones that are brand new.
What about Levi's?
Levi's, where
70, maybe?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it here. It's got to be, 68.
There you go, yeah.
Well, aren't they building, I mean, it's not really about the number of seats they want. They want all the luxury
areas. All the luxury suites. Yep. And so it's just no one builds really big stadiums. In fact, number three is Lambeau Field. And look how old that thing is. That's got 81. And AT&T, I guess, for Cowboy stadiums, like for regular Cowboy games, it's just at 80.
Yeah, but they can expand
it. They can expand it up to 20,000. Yeah. They can get over 100 in there. So, yeah, there'd be plenty over there in Europe that you could fit. I guess, I didn't realize that. I thought SoFi had way more than that. SoFi, they're saying it's 70. But I'm guessing that can be reconfigured to cram more in there.
SoFi?
Yeah. Because from the outside, it's just enormous.
It looks cool.
Yeah. But it's like, you would think that with all the new ones being built, that they'd be a little bit larger. But you're right. They want the luxury and, you know, they'll charge the hell out of the seats, but they don't want to put more in them.
What is that stadium? Is it Raiders that has the like little apartments in it?
No, I think it's Arizona, the Casitas or whatever.
Yeah, the Casitas.
Casa, or, oh, the Oakland, though, they did the whole outside one. The one that was, like, outside the stadium for, like, 80 grand.
Oh, that's right.
And then I think the Arizona did the, like, indoor kind of house place.
Have you seen that?
No. They got casitas there in Arizona?
Yeah, so it has...
A pool house kind of thing?
On the upper deck, you can just sit up there and watch the game.
It makes it look like it's your house. It's almost like a condo or an apartment. There's a kitchen, there's a couch, there's a big screen on the wall, but if you go out onto the deck, you're just on the sideline.
Yeah, you can go out on the front deck and watch the game, like almost like you're on a concourse landing, you know? Yeah.
But it brings people over to your house to the stadium.
Or you can go to the upper deck and get some chairs and drink and watch the game. But then you go down the stairs inside. It's all inside, but it's all glass, so you can see in it. Huh. It's like a luxury suite down there with food and a kitchen and couches, and you sit around. That's where the ladies go, I guess.
Well, it's funny in that whenever you go to one of these games, NFL, college, whatever, and you get an opportunity to go sit in the suites, right? Maybe, you know, company tickets or whatever. I think, you know, a lot of people have probably had an opportunity to do that. Have you noticed that no one actually watches the game in those things?
It's just a social event.
It is 100% a social thing. Every time that I've had the opportunity to go in there, I always notice that. Like midway through the game, I always look around and just kind of see what's going on. Half the people are on their phone. Half the people are up getting food with their backs turned to the game. Like, it's just, it's so, and there's so much money. People spend so much money to not watch the games. It's crazy.
I mean, they'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
If something good happens.
But it's just, you're right. It's just, it's a social thing. It's a status thing. And it's like, oh, I got luxury suites.
All right. What Googled phrase spiked this week?
Google me, bitch.
Next on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.